Shavua Tov, Shavua Tov. Our daf tonight is daf Nun Vav, daf Shabbos Kedesh. We're going to start from daf Nun Hei Amud Beis, which is where we got up to on Friday by Mei Ha'av. My Mei Ha'av. When we refer to Mei Ha'av, what exactly are you referring to? Because Lachar and Mei Ha'av certainly don't seem to fall into the requirements that we see we're gradually developing of what's considered to be a Mayan. When you have dripping from the nose, is that it? Omarav, no. It's talking about binigrarim derech hapeh. It's talking about basically that someone inhales Mea'av and then spits out. So there, Lafishi Iev Sharla Mea'av below Tzichtzuche Harok, since there's always going to be some mucus that's there as well, so that's considered to be roke actually. Why then would we need the riboy before we included it in the extra vav? Talmud Omar vichi yarok. So that the Mefarshim explained that we saw already before that we have different dinim. Let's say where we have tzichtzuche shichvazera mixed with urine. So the Torah says a chiddush that tzichtzuchim are different than the actual thing. It gave different. Yevshar below tzichtzuche ziva. So then, in other words, you see that the Torah doesn't view tzichtzuchim to have the same din necessarily. So we still need a vav to tell me. Rabbi Yochanan says it's a chiddush akro. Afilu binigrorim derech achotam. Even if you just have now some nasal fluids that come out directly from the nose. Alma kasava mayan uvrachmana ravya. The Torah was marba this specifically with the extra vav, and there's all types of mucus are included in the vih, the chiyarok. The rav, if that's what rav holds, that you can have other materials that are now inhaled, that's like a post nasal drip, how about tears? Tears also can make their way down into the nasal passages. So nachshov nami dim at eno, and we know that Rav holds this because Rav says, "Hi man, deboy lemistme leine." If you feel like making yourself blind, you can always go to a goyish doctor to put in eye drops. They had these treatments, chemical sticks. They're cold, you know. The ancient world was very. But they would put in poison if they wanted to get rid of the Jews. So they would put in something that could blind you. Levi says, what were you talking about blind? I mean, forget about what they're using in there. They might put in literally poison, deadly poison. I'm on the boy Limos. The guy wants to drop that, he can go and get the used coal from an agoy. So what's the reason that Rav, if Rav is cheshish, they're going to use something in there, why not already talk about dying? Why is he talking about that the coal will affect your eyes? My time to Rav, to Lo Omar, how come Rav didn't agree now with Levi? And he didn't say, hi, man, the boy, the lamus. If a guy wants to die, that's a good way to do it. Because he holds, if the person feels there's something stinging in there that feels dangerous and he realizes the guy's trying to poison him, he could always draw in the poison by inhaling and then spitting it out. The Rav. So then according to that, why doesn't he include tears together with Meha'af? Because it can also be Nigra Derech HaPeh and say that it's included in the Tzichtzuche Rok. No. He does hear nothing. You can get out a small amount of chemicals, but the masa gufa lo nothing. The dema'ot themselves don't actually come through that passageway. Toshma, tisha mashkin hazavim. There are 9 liquids that have to be considered when it comes to a zav, and they have different categories. You have ze'ah, lechas rucha, harei, tori miklum. You have liquids such as sweat, or sweat that's been sitting mixed with dead skin, so lechas rucha, person doesn't wash for a while, or actually liquid feces. These things are bechlal tohar. They're not considered to be an excretion or a mashke, because it's not suitable for any kind of mashke. Dim'ateno is tears. Dam agar patur, blood that comes from a wound, and chalav ha'isha, a woman's milk, are all mekabel tumas, tumas mashkin, but they're not mayonis, so that the milk will be able to be matame oifoi, like mashkin tameim, and of course that requires a shear, the revias. Aval zovo, however, the zivas, the roke, the meimei raglav, those are actually called mayonis, and they're matamim tumah chamura. Notice it doesn't say anything about nasal mucus, meyav lo katani. So bishleim el rav, according to rav, it makes sense. You can't say meyav, because meyav are not necessarily tummy, delo psika leila misne, because, I mean, what's he going to start now explaining meyav in the event that day when he grew in derech hapeh, I mean, he doesn't bother mentioning it, because zinin dasi derech hapeh, zinin dasi derech hachotam. Sometimes they would be tummy, sometimes they wouldn't be tummy. It depends whether they came from the nose or the mouth, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a whole different mashke. He said the Torah was marvet. So he's saying, why doesn't it say now to mention it should be 10 mashkazov? I understand. And according to you, it should be 12 mashkazov. How come it didn't mention kichov and iyo? Mikotani, did it mention kichov and iyo? Yeah, well, the pshat is it says roke. That, in other words, mucus of any kind, not kamin, if it's sputum, if it's mamen, that's all included under the general category of roke. So that's clearly how you understood kichov and iyo. And Mishnah, that's the same thing about the mea af, that it's also considered to be essentially mucus. So we have one category called various mucus mashka. Dimat eno. You said that the tears are considered to be now a mashkin, even though they're not a mayan. How do we know that the Torah views dimaot as mayim, as a mashke? So, b'dimaot, if you're going to give me to drink tears, it's clear that tears are considered to be a drink. Dam agafato, it says dam chalalim yishter. I mean, lamaisa, we're talking about chalalim. So, mali katle kule, mali katle palge. I mean, the day of not community, you kill a person all the way, you kill a person part of the way. I mean, the dam is the same dam. Chalava isha, dichti vatiftach et meoda chalava tashkeyu. We know that Yael actually gave Sisra to drink from her breast to give him milk and to tire him. So clearly that's called Vatashkeu, it's called an actual drink, in which case that's a dinamashkin. And then you said urine. Now that's already, urine is considered to be now tome from the Zov. Why is that? Meimei raglav minova. Detanya. Zovo tome. Read that as zovota me vizot. There's something else. And that something else is labot me me raglav tuma. That's to tell me that even his urine is considered tummy. And evalodino, I mean, lamaisa, what do we need a pasuk? It seems posha. If his spit comes from his mouth, it's a mokum tyra. Nonetheless, Tyra says it's considered to be tummy. So certainly a liquid that comes from the same place that the zivas come from, the zivas is metaming him, so may raglav, now you have urine, it seems to be basically, I mean, I don't know, it's the same general area, but it's about mimokam tome, and it didn't change to me, it would certainly be more tome than rogue. That's no raya, says the Gemara. Because dam ayotse mipi ha'ama yochiach, sheba mimokam tome v'toho. You can't say that, because we know that, let's say you have a zov, and the zov bleeds now from his penis. There's no tumor associated with it, even though it's bami makam tamei. So that shows that it doesn't matter where liquid comes from, it matters what the liquid is. So if I wouldn't have the pasuk, why would I think that urine is tamei? Therefore, Talmud omar zovo tamei vizot to be marbeh urine. Wait a minute. So now I understand. You certainly may. What is the Pasha Pshat?
That place is called a Makam Tameh.
Fair. Who would read the Gemara in such a way except a pervert? What's the matter with you? Is that possible? Have a minister
today? To
you just want to explain. What's the meaning? You're welcome to him. I understand. Welcome to him. The thing that's making him tummy is the place where the zov is coming from. So Kosh Kenneth, but why would I possibly? Well, I should call the genitals a mokum tummy. It's because it's Gerim Tuma. What are you, a Christian? What kind of business is this? Talmud Lamar asks the Gemara, now that you're telling me this, how do you know to do it in that direction? You're assuming Dama Yotzvipi Ama is Tahar. First of all, how do you know this? Now don't confuse this with the Gemara earlier, where the Gemara says that a Zohar who sees Dam doesn't become a Zov. We're not talking about that, we're talking about a person who is a Zov. Now he's bleeding, coincidentally or pathologically, with the same pathology, whatever it is. So now, that's a whole different issue. Is the blood that comes from a Zov? That's a different question. Is that Madonna? So how do I know not? The Tanya Yochu Ye Dama Yatsumi Piv will be Pia Ama of a Zov. Tmeyim. Tamiloma Zovo Tame. Who? What's Tame? Zovo? Who Tame? Vein Dama Yatsumi Piv will be Pia Ama Tame? Ela Tahor. So now we have one pasuk that's telling me to be Marbe, namely the Zovs. There's something else. The Vov. And then we have a pasuk telling me to be Mamayat. Who? Who Tame? How do we know to say that the urine is tamei and the blood is tahor? I mean, why look at it that way? Maybe the other way. Ve'epuchano, om Reb Yochanan mishum Reb Shimon bar Yochai dumya derok, because lamaisa, the one thing that's given is rok, and we can use that now that we know that the Torah wants us to add, but not add without defining. Okay, so we have to look for the definition. So what is rok? Rok is something that's mitagel. It first collects, and then it's yotze. Of course, mitagel v'yotze. So things which have a way of collecting, but dam ain't no mitagel v'yotze. Bleeding is just bleeding. It doesn't first gather up. Well, wait a minute. You said that a woman's milk is not a mayan. I mean, milk is certainly it. It first collects in little glands. And then it comes out. So chalav shebi yishashem mitagel v'yotze. V'yoma mar, you just got finished saying a number of days before that chalav shebi yishas metami tumis mashkin. It's only tumis mashkin. Tumis mashkinin. That it's considered to be a liquid like milk. Avalotu machamura. It's not considered to be a maya. How do you explain that? I think we can turn off the heat now, no?
A little longer.
Huh? A little longer? Ela Amar Reb Yochanan Mishum Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. You're right. Obviously the definition is not tight enough, because if we were saying Vizos is Marav, anything similar to Rok, so then a woman's milk ought to come first. But the pshat is like this: Dumya the Rok. The similarity here is not only that it's Metagel V'Yotzei, but also that it's Chozer V'Nivla. So in other words, it's something which, if it isn't mitagel v'yotze, you can reabsorb it into the body. So afko mitagel v'yotze, and also chozer v'nivla. Now dam is certainly not included, because it's not mitagel v'yotze. Chalav shebi'isha, although afa pishe mitagel v'yotze, there's no way that you could just re-swallow it. I mean, it's there, it's going to come out. So eno chozer v'nivla.
And urine?
Urine, you could stop. You could stop the urine flow by muscle.
But it's not
going to
be reabsorbed by the body.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Eventually, it's got to come out.
But say, even though it came out, you can pull it in, so to speak.
It doesn't mean
it'll never. But what about Zov? Wait a minute. We had a special Riboy for Zovo Tamei. And Zov is not like that. So Zov ain't no mitagel v'yotze mitamei. Hafko, why don't we use Zovo to be now a remez that anything, any type of thing that flows? Amarava, you can't. Mizovo, lekalameo, that's obviously a unique case. Because the case of Zovishkin Gorim Tumalacherim, how are you going to use them? I mean, The Torah gives you an example of rok, and it gives you an example of zov. And it tells you that you can't use an example that's going to include everything, because it's only zov. Who? So what makes sense to you? Obviously, zovo is a very special case, because that's what the whole tumah here is built around, is that zovo, correct? Makes sense that that would be matami. Even though it's not misavdo v'yotzei, the Torah would be marba. But to say that all things similar to zovim, that's the whole point, that we're mamayit, that we say who, and only who is tummy. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah that a sheretz is not metame if it's dry, only if it's lach. Omerish, lachish, sheretz sheyavash v'shildo kayemet tame. Fascinating. Seems to ignore the Mishnah. A sheretz that's dried out, but its exoskeleton is still whole, it's still tummy. The Mishnah said beferish that a sheretz is metame lachin veina metame yavesh. That's the way Rishlag is arguing with the Mishnah. On the Rebbe Zera Lokasha. The truth is, there's two different dinim in a sheretz. Habechulan, habemikzatan. If you have an entire sheretz, it's different than if you have a part of a sheretz. The din of tumat sheretz, which is the any shear of a sheretz for shear of a kadash, that would be mitami. That's only said if it's lach. But if you have an entire sheretz, there's a separate pasuk that tells you it's mitami, even though it's yavesh. What's the basis of this? The time. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Rabbi Bisna, Amar Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Bahem. The Torah says, Anogea Bahem, kol Anogea Bahem Yitma. Bahem. In them, they, what they are. They are whole. So you might think only if you touch a whole sheretz. Talmud lomar mayhem. On the other hand, the other pasuk says, kol asher yipo mayhem. Something that falls from them. From them means even a piece. So imayhem yachol b'miksatam. So that would mean even a piece would be matami. Talmud lomar bayhem. Okay, so, I mean, you make up your mind. Must be that there's two different tumas. Kan belach, kan b'yavesh. So if the sheretz is dry, then it's only going to be matami if it's bahem. It's the whole sheretz. If it's lach, then it's matami even the miksasam. Omar Rava, hani zabuge de mechuzah, those buggers up there in mechuzah, which are turtles, that often just dry, they just die and they leave their shellet. The Shildan Kayemet are Tmeim for the same reason. V'yama Reish Lakish, Sheretz Shen Nisraf V'Shildo Kayemet Tmeim. You're not drying. If you had a sheretz that was in a fire, burned, thank you, was burned, it's also going to be Metame as long as its whole. Reish Lakish, V'yama Reish Lakish. Oh, sorry. Meizvei, Nimtza Sheretz Saruf Agabei Azeitim, V'chein Matlit HaMehuma Taorin, Shekol HaTumei Od Kishat Metziatam. Here it says, Beferish, that if you find a Sheretz that's burned and it's touching Zeisim, or you find a Matlit now that is all rotted away, it no longer has a din of a bed.
Great word. Yeah.
So the din is that you go according to when you find it. I understand. But you said even if you find it burned, it's still matame. And here it's saying clearly that it's Torah. It's a Beferish of Mishnah. So how can you say that a burnt up sheretz is going to still be matame? Answers Reish Lakish. Answers Rabbi Zeir on Reish Lakish Lakasha. Habekulan, Rabbi Mitzatam, basically the same idea. That just like as the whole basis is on Rabbi Yitzchak Rabista, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Behem, Yachol Bekulan, Tamid Lomar Mehem, Imehem, Yachol Bemitzatam, Tamid Lomar Bahem, Arketza, Kan Besaruf, Kan Besheino Saruf, the same halacha that we had by Yavesh. So we said that all of these other inyanim that don't have a din of a mayan are only metame lach. Zov. How do we know a Zov? Zoni Metame now. Lach. V'chsiv Ror Bisoro. So the Zivas has to be Ror. Is like rear. Is a liquid dripping. Kichol Ni'o Roko. Because it says Kiyorok Azov. That means Ke'en Rok. It has to be the way it is when it's spit out. Sheretz Bimotam. The way the sheretz is at the time of its death. Shichva zera, from the very word zera. Zera means haruya lahazria, something that can bring forth peres. Neveila, tuksiv kiyamut, again, kein mita. But the definition of dried is that it's now so dry that it cannot be rehydrated. But im yecholim lahashrot, it's possible now to leave it in water and it will become the way it was before, then it's not called dry. Now, the Mishnah said that the shear is 24 hours, the potion. Does the temperature need to be controlled the whole 24 hours? Or does it mean you put it into poshrim, and then, as long as you put it into poshrim initially, you can allow the temperature to fall? You don't have to keep it at an exact temperature the whole time. What does it mean? No, it has to be the whole time in poshrim. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, tchilato v'sofo b'poshrim, or it just means you put it into poshrim. El dilma tchilato hafa b'shem sofo, even though you didn't leave it. Tashma, detanya kama yishriyatan b'poshrim, Yehuda ben Nekusa omer, me'et la'et tchilato hafa b'shem sofo. Doesn't have to be at the end. Now this is a big kula, because this means that if you don't manage to rehydrate this dover tame, whatever it is, even though you could say, well, I mean, the mice, if you would have kept the water warm enough, maybe it would have become rehydrated. Well, I know it would be rehydrated. Okay, but that's not the shear. I didn't have to keep it warm the whole time. I put it into tepid water, and whatever happened, and I see now it's not rehydrated. So then it's enough to say it's not metame. It's a kula. Whereas, this is the shita now of Afa Pishen Sofo of Rabbi Yehuda ben Nekusa, but Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Tzrichim shiyu poshrim me'ez la'ez. No, the temperature has to be controlled the entire time. Otherwise, you didn't give it a real test to rehydrate it. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bisar Hamet, is also now Torah, that just means that it doesn't have a din of basar, but it's certainly rekev. If it's dried out, it's no different than rekev. So it's a different shear. Tuma b'kizai is that shayach to basar, that is an alach, but if it's completely dried out, it's still going to be metame tumas rekev, which is a larger shear, so you need to have now the, basically, below chofnav, would end up being the shear, right? Tani nami yach, Rabbi Yossi Omer, psar ha-meshi avash, ve'en yochol lishrot v'lachzor k'mot shayah. It's impossible now for it to be rehydrated, so then enochi nami, it would be tor milatame, but only because zayitz, of milatame to mesrakev, it still has the shear, of Malo Tarvad, which is basically your two handfuls. Sabbat Josh isn't here. What are we going to do? We'll have to stop? Or we could continue?
No,
you think we could continue?
He would want us.
He would want us. Zak the Helek and Mishnah. But I wonder, I hope everything's okay. It's going to be bad. Hashem!
He has a
Hasheret shenimtza b'mavui tamei l'mafreya. We have an interesting din that is similar to the halachas of a kesem, because you have an area, an enclosed space, where there's definitely something that's tamei there, and now we have things that were in their tyres that if they were stored there would have come in contact with this thing. Then the same thing is true about the kesem. It's like the kesem, you have to say, apparently anything that touched this baguette up until the time that I last checked it or last washed it is tummy. Same thing is true over here. Anything that was in there, you're going to have to be cautious. It's tummy the mafreya, Achiomar Badakiyatam Avuyaz. Until such time as you can say, no, Tuesday night I checked the Marbuy and there was nothing there. Loya Bosheret. Or Achat Kibbut. Until you could say, we washed out the Marbuy, we swept out the Marbuy. Same thing is true about a Ketem. A Ketem Nimtza Bechaluk. Okay, so now it's the time of the Mafrei until such time that you could say, look, Tuesday night I checked this Chaluk, there was no stain anywhere on it. Until the time, say, Tuesday night I put it in the washing machine. Umetame bein lach bein yavesh. Furthermore, this tumah is whether it's lach or yavesh, obviously talking about now a whole sheretz, because otherwise we'd have the stira. Rabbi Shimon Omer, there's a difference, you see, because a yavesh is metame lemafreya until such time as you can say. But not a lach, because a lach eno metame ela ad sha'asha yachol liot lach. In other words, how long could this thing possibly still be damp? 5 hours? 10 hours? If it came out more than 10 hours ago, it would be dry. How come it's not dry? So obviously, you don't have to go further back in time than it would have been possible for it to be now damp. You're saying until such time as I checked it, or until such time as we swept out the mavri. But there's two ways to understand what that means, I swept out the mavri. You could say that when a person sweeps out a mavri, he generally keeps out his, he keeps his eyes open to make sure that there's no sheretz there. So is the pshat that at sha'at kibud cheskato baduk, is what we're saying is, if I swept out this marble, then we can assume that it was also checked. The person is sweeping, he's looking at what he's doing. What is it, the pshat cheskato mitchabed? It's enough, the Mishnah is saying, that if you swept it, so then you probably would have swept it out, even though you weren't looking. You didn't particularly check it out afterwards to see whether you left the sheretz anywhere. But since you're doing a sweeping job, so if it would have, anything that had been there before would have been swept out, and that's enough. What's an afkamina? Afkamina is where the guy says, look, I'll tell you the truth, I didn't look around afterwards to see whether I left the sheretz there, but I definitely swept it out. So if the pshat is that we're saying, yeah, mechaskasoy baduk, if you're telling that when a person sweeps, he keeps his eyes open, the guy's saying he swept and he didn't look afterwards. So in this case, it wouldn't help to say that it was swept. Whereas if you say cheskato mitchabed, so bottom line is he swept it out. Why does he have to say I checked it, so I didn't check it? Or it's another nafkamina. Inami, the other nafkamina would be dishtakach beguma. The sheretz was found all right, but it was found caught in a little crack. So over there, if the guy, you're going to tell me if the point is cheskato baduk. Okay, so I mean, if I'm checking the mobile, I'm going to look in a crack too. Not the barak, the gumanami barak. But if you're telling me it's only because cheskato mitchabed, so then a guma is lo mitchabed, it's caught there. The broom will go over it, and it's not going to move it. So if the guy didn't look, then you can't. If you don't have a cheskas that it was barak, then the sweeping won't be enough. You have exactly the same question about the ketam. You say, ah, shat kibbutz. What is shat kibbutz? Shat kibbutz is a pshat because when you do a wash, you check over to make sure that everything is clean. So in other words, you can now basically, we're saying if somebody did the wash, so we can assume that they knew there was no ketam there, they would have identified it. Or is it the pshat that if you did a wash, so then if there had been a ketam there, it would have been washed away. So therefore, why is it still here? It must be that it fell after the wash. Maybe that's what you're saying. The my nafkamina. Nafkamina would be the same thing. A person said, I did a wash and I didn't look at the clothes after I took it out of the washing machine. So then we don't know. So yamakas kaso badu. If you're going to tell me when people do the wash, then by definition it's checked. Person's telling you that it wasn't checked. Hello, bada. Yamakas kato mitchabes. I did a wash. Or another nafkamina. Let's say that the ketam was found on the seam. You know, on the seam, it's much harder to get out of stain, right? So over there, You can't, maybe it's not going to come out in the wash. So if you found it in a seam, okay, if I'm checking, then I check obviously the entire clothing, including the seam. So then, it's not true. Things have a very hard time getting clean when they're stuck in a seam. Why? So do we have a rhyme? Tod Shema, Netanya, Omer, Rabbi Meir. Mipnei ma amru asher shenimtza b'mavui metamel mafrei ad sheyomar badakti et hamavui hazeh v'lo haya bo sheretz. Oh, ad kibud. Why do you think Chazal say this? Mipnei shechezkat b'nei Yisro botkin mivaotehem b'sha'at kibudeyem. It's only because Jews in general, because of their sensitivity to tumah, will be baidik at the time that they're doing the kibud. The kibud alone wouldn't be enough. V'im lo batku, if sidul ha-mafreya, if they didn't take the trouble to be baidik again, so now it's going to, there were mafsid tyrus until the previous time that it was properly checked. It's their own fault. Same thing with the ketem. If they ma amru ketem, shenimtza b'chaluk b'tabin ha-mafreya, ad shiomar badakti t'chaluk, v'lo haya bo ketem, o ad sha'at kibuz. Why ad sha'at kibuz? It's because women who are doing the laundry will check to see whether there was a ketem there afterwards. But if they didn't do that, so then you see the mafreya, it's now that's their own fault. They're going to be now metame anything that touched the beged until the previous time that it was checked properly. Rav Acha says, you know, you can always check and see. Basically, tachzor v'techapsem. You know what? Wash it again. Wash it again right now. So imitche miriyato. If lamaisa, right now when you wash it, you see that the stain disappears in the washing. So it was washed before. So why didn't it disappear in that washing? Elama, it must have fallen after the previous washing, or it wouldn't be here now and respond so clearly to the washing. Imlav, okay, if it's still not being washed in the wash properly, so then Nechinami, and you have to assume it was here before the previous wash. Then the Adosh and Nekibus, Rabbi Eimer. Look, ain't a dumb ketem shalach rakibus, the ketem shalach rakibus. There's an easy way to tell by looking at a ketem whether it's here from before or whether it's here only after a wash. Shezemak dir, vezemak lid. A stain that goes through a wash that isn't washed is because it's now koder into the fibers. You look at the fibers and you see the fiber is stained. But there's no deposit on top of the fiber. That any deposit definitely gets washed off in the wash. Whereas if it's maglid, so it has a coating on the fiber, it never went through the wash. So you can tell if it went through the wash or not. Shma min al cheskato baduk, shma min. But in any event, getting back to our question, it's clear, Rabbi Meir says 100%, the only reason we were matir until Shas Kibbutz, or until Shas Kibbutz, is because people do check. So then that's your answer. It's not because it's by definition it's enough just to do a wash or just to do a sweep out. It's because it was checked. Umitamei bein lach bein yavei shomer blazer lo shanu el sheret avod ketem lach nami mitamei lo mafreya. Now wait a second. This business you're saying. If I find it now, and it's damp, how could it have stayed damp so long? What, the last time I checked the clothing, for the mavui, it was 3 days ago. So it can't possibly be 3 days it's going to remain damp. Says, now Rav Elazar, which is very counterintuitive, this is doctor referring to the sheretz. But the ketem is damp, maybe because it got wet. You can't be sure that the ketem is wet because it's still wet from the time that it fell onto the baguette. Maybe it's wet because it got damp with the rain or with somebody spit on it or whatever. Because it could be that maybe it had already dried And then mine will not fall away. So couldn't it be the same thing with the sherets? I mean, we know things can get rehydrated. So sherets nami emer yaveshaya, my own not fall away. No. The sherets, imita da achiyu, imre tuti imrita. If water had fallen on it after it was already completely dry, it would have broken up the skeleton. This thing is delicate. It's not something that's gonna now look like it's all fresh because of the water poured on it. Yeah. To break up. Zakta Helika Mishnah Kol Hakitamim Habaim Mirekim Tehorim. Rabbi Yehuda Mitame Mipnei Shehem Gerim V'Toim. You know, we know that Chazal remarked that to give a din to the Goyim we saw earlier, Benot Kutim. The major part of the whole issue of Nida is the way in which we distinguish between Jews and non-Jews, people who are shy of the dinim of Tumah. We gave a din of Zivas, of Nidas to Goyim, however, not Ketamim. Since the din of Ketam itself is a drabonim, we were not gezer that an Ovedet Kochavim stains the Goyim, that should be Metame the Begin, because of the Tumah of Dam of an Akum, which is also drabonim. That far we didn't go. Therefore, if you find a beged that has a ketem in it, you have a shipment of begadim from Rechem, you should know, it's interesting that we use this now as a way of defining whether a city is really goyim or whether it could be that they are from the Aseres HaShvatim, or maybe they had mixed with Jews. Now they're really Jewish, they don't know they're Jewish, they forgot they're Jewish, so on. So you should know if the Ketamim come in shipments of clothing from Rech and Mitzdar, because that's a place where they're all going. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Rechem, Adarabah. Those people were actually, they are Gerim, and they're Taim. They went back to their ways. They don't even remember their history. But basically, there's a lot of Jewish people mixed up in there. It's like Abu Ghosh. Haboyim
Mitbeg. They're coming Martimeim.
Because you can't assume that they're going. But Haboyim Mitbein of the Kochavim Taurim. If they come from Goyim, then they're Tar. But if they come Mibein Yisrael and Mibein Hakutim, so there Rabbi Meir is Matami, the Chachomim are Matarin. Of course, the Gemara is going to be the Matarin. So then what's left? Not Goyim, not Kutim, not Israel. So we can forget about Tamim then. We could have saved us a lot of trouble. Okay, the Gemara will explain what this statement is supposed to mean. But clearly, and that was according to Rabbi Meir, the Kutim are going to be Matami. There's nothing to be chayshitim about when it comes to ketamim. First of all, you said anything that comes mibein ha'evdek ha'chavim. You started off a mishnah defining a city. That means you're interested in telling us what you mean. That we don't just assume people are goyim because you think they're goyim. Not necessarily. Now we know, everybody knows about the problems of Talmud. We had this Kiddushin, we discussed it. What are these people in Talmud? If you tell me a general rule, after telling me what the din is about Rechem, that then the only thing you have to worry about is it comes from a Mokum of Goyim, then that includes even Talmud. If that's the case, I mean, Kaposik Matonu, you don't make a distinction. So then that includes Talmud as well. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Zoto Merit Mekablin Gerimi Talmud. According to this, you can assume that somebody who comes from Talmud wants to be Mizgayer, that they're not a Jew that's a Mamzer, because that was the whole thing. We were afraid over there that the Yetzer HaShvatim were there and they got mixed up, and the goyim that were there, the Aseres HaShvatim ran away to Tarmod, they basically took the Jewish women, and if you hold like the Man Yomer, who holds Akum ve'evet Shabbat Bas Yisroh, Havlad Manzer, so you're going to take these people as goyim, and you're going to say, okay, now they can intermarry with Jews. How can they intermarry with Jews? Maybe the Manzerim, same shaila that we have with the Ethiopians. If we're by to the Jewish, then they're Manzerim. So, and you're saying, no, it's okay not to be chodesh for their ketem. Don't be chodesh for their ketem. It means that you're telling me that they're going. How could Rabbi Yochanan says you can be makabel gerim mitarmod? For Rabbi Yochanan v'sabia, the Amar Tarvayu, ain't makabel gerim mitarmod. I understand. He says beferish not like that. B'chitema, maybe Rabbi Yochanan means zot omeret. Not that I agree. But the way you wrote the Mishnah, so the merit, as you're saying, that you could be Makabal again from Talmud, Chas v'Shalom, I disagree with that. So maybe he's saying Zot v'lo Svirale. Problem is, this is a Stam Mishnah. Omrit Yochanan Lofik is Stam Mishnah. It says over here, this piece is Stama, correct? Mibein Ovde Kechovim Torah, including Talmud. But it's Chalik on that. So how could Rabbi Yochanan now say, I don't hold of a Stam Mishnah, if he himself passes like a Stam Mishnah? I'm a Reinin of Alib Rabbi Yochanan. We know that in general there was a Shita of the Talmid of Rabbi Yochanan that he didn't necessarily pass him like a Stam Mishnah. Okay, but ask Taisus, what's the difference when he passes like a Stam Mishnah? But how can he argue with the Mishnah? I mean, who is he relying on to argue on the Mishnah? Why is that the question of what is a Stam Mishnah? So Tosis brings that Rabbi Yochanan and Sabi apparently hold of Rami Bar Yecheskel in Yevamos. This is Rami Bar Yecheskel's din that ain't mekabel gerim min haTalmudim. Okay, so he relies on a Tana. The Bryce.
The Rashi says, "Which
in the Sabi
with Tosis serves a Shvatim." It's very interesting. Where would this be?
Didn't I just say that?
I can follow.
I could.
Huh? I did say. I need my tourist guides. They know about this thing. You can tell us. No. It's not in your neighborhood, Talmud?
I'm only up to the mission.
What do you mean? You never stood in Talmud?
I need to be in Iraq and these places to know where these places are in this custom.
You think it's that far away?
My mayor's neighborhood is limited?
Temporarily.
I mean, after the war in Iraq, I was sure that you would get in there.
I had invitations, but then you wrote back, now it's too hot, you can't come now. Hinterland.
So I can't address it better than you. You're our shliach. Mibein Yisrael. Now, I understand. The Rabbanan is saying, don't worry about summon from the Goyim, don't worry about summon from the Kusim, and don't worry about summon from the Jews. So I understand. So there's nobody to worry about. In the Israel the Matari, so the man Matami, I understand. So where are some of Tommy? You don't understand. The Mishnah has to be understood like this. The Surimah, Machas, Rachikatami. Obviously, the Ben Yisrael Tommy. That's a given. If you know that you have a Kesem from a Jew, that's the name of Kesem. Now, Shaila's like this. Mibena Kusi. Rabbi Meir is Matami. Again, if you know that it's a Kesem, so he's Matami because Kutim are Geri Emetain, the Paskins. Therefore, they have a din of a Jew, and their Ketim is Matami. The Chachomim are Matarim because they hold Kutim aren't Jewish. Kutim Geri Arayot. How could that? First of all, that's not the Pshat. It says, Shalom Nefshadu Akitmeim. It has nothing to do with Shalom Nefshadu Akitmeim. It has to do with Geri Arayot. What are you telling me? They're Choshen. They're not Choshen. You're saying, because even though they don't believe in Torah Shabbat, but they're makbin on the Ketamim. What do you mean? They're makbin on the Ketamim? In other words, because there's a number of different shitas. Either because they say mitzad hasvaran, I mean, where else did the blood come from? Without thinking of it as a takana. Or adarava, they're more makbin. Because if they don't darshan the word bivsarah, so then they don't need Hargasha. If they don't need Hargasha, so then any time they're going to be much more machmeron than we are.
Why is
Okay, and so if that's the case, you're saying that Mikra din, of course, they're tamei, but they're not nefsharak yismayim, because they'll be very careful with us. So then it's not because the issue is geri amisen or geri arayis. You should have said, quote, geri arayis, unquote, miboyele. You're right. The correct way to read the Mishnah is like this. Mibein Yisrael, mibein hakutim. Sorry, but go back to what we said. The Chisuri Mechasa wasn't just mibein Yisrael tamei. It's mibein Yisrael and mibein hakutim tamei. Why? Because kutim geri amisen, that's a given. Now, when we're talking about from Mibein of the Kachovin, no, the next piece should read Be'orei Yisrael. In other words, if you find now in the city, meaning not that these are Ktamim that you have discovered now in a laundromat, son, the people have left a bag of clothing in an open place, and these begotim have Ktamim on them. So now if something touches it, now you want to know, well, you don't have to worry that this was Matame. That's the Shaila. So there it's Tahirin Shalom Nech Shadoah Kitzman. The point is, they're not Choshe to allow something that has a Ketam on it to be in public and to cause Tumah. Ella, they're going to be Matzniyeh. On the other hand, Hanim Tzaim Barei Akutim. Now we're not discussing now the issue of whether the Ketam is Tame. The Ketam is Tame, because they're Geri Emes. Fine, that's not the issue. The question is, are they Nechshar HaKitmeyim not to be Matzniyah and not to worry about people finding now their Tamim and becoming Tamei? That's the question. So Rabbi Meir is Metamei, this is a different machlokas. The Nechshado HaKitmeyim, the Chachami Metarim Shelo Nechshado HaKitmeyim.
We're talking about Gadim that we find with Tamim on.
Yeah, but with a blood on it, with what looks like a blood spot. But I mean, there's any number of reasons. I mean, the person may know that they were at a sore, they were bleeding, they were cleaning chickens, they were whatever.
It's not.
You don't have to worry about it being a ketem. Okay, Rabbi Sai, I think we did quite well for ourselves over here, considering where we began. And we'll start with the Halakha Commissioner with Sabbat Jazz measures tomorrow morning. And we get a special treat tomorrow. A Hadron and a Bolinetta and everything else. You should only be well. Okay.
Have a shot.
Good luck.